Tonight I want to talk about a subject that sometimes we're guilty of doing this ourselves, and sometimes we cause others to stumble. So I want to look at that this evening, based on Matthew 18, verse 6 through 9, and we'll be getting over there in a little bit to read that. But anyway, the word stumbling comes from the Greek word skandalon, which basically is the same word we get our scandal from. So people do this. And this word is probably one of the broadest terms in all of the Greek language. And so most of the words in Greek are very specific, very small, very short. So when you interpret it, you have a pretty good idea of what it says. This one is a very broad term. It covers a lot of ground. And it means a stumbling block or anything against which one stumbles. And an impediment, a cause of ruin, destruction, misery, a cause or occasion of sinning, scandal, offense, and cause of indignation. So all of these are included in this word. And so the Lord warns us about getting involved in this. And I'm sure we all remember as we were young people going barefoot, maybe stumbling over roots and rocks when we were young. I know I kept my big toes bruised up and bleeding a lot of the time and in pain. So I can relate to that. But anyway, and even if I was wearing shoes, I still stumbled a lot. I was a clumsy kid. I'm sure some of you probably are too, and you just won't admit it. But anyway, some falls can seriously injure a person, especially if they're up in age. Some falls have actually been fatal. And so we do hear about that happening every now and then. All right. It's a terrible thing to stumble. And of course, I'm not talking about our physical bodies. We're going to be talking spiritually. It is a terrible thing to stumble. And it's also a terrible thing to cause someone else to stumble. Now, in the schools, we had the bullies. They pushed people over. They got someone in a compromising position and just gave them a little nudge and they fell over. Sometimes they push them out in front of traffic, push them out in front of a train or something like that. And that's bad. And you've all seen the one kid runs up behind him, leans down, another person comes up, pushes them, and they go down. Yes, that has hurt some people. And it's terrible, and it's embarrassing for the person who this happens to. But what does the Lord think of stumbling? He doesn't like it. That's the simple answer. Matthew 18, verses 7 and 8 says, "Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks. For it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come. But woe to that man through whom the stumbling block comes. And if your hand or foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the eternal fire." And there's a lot of stuff there. There's a lot of meat there that we need to concentrate upon. Because we have to look at this. What keeps us out of heaven? That's what anything that keeps us out of heaven is our stumbling block. Whether it be temptation, whether it be lust, whether it be just outright sin. Whatever it is, it's a cause for us to miss heaven. And that is something that we call a stumbling block. And we are warned not to be a stumbling block for others. See, God does not appreciate anyone who causes others to stumble. In other words, you tell your friend, "Oh, go ahead and do it, it's okay." When you know God's word says otherwise, you've caused someone to stumble. You've given them a cause of grief. And God does not like that. We're not supposed to treat people that way. We're supposed to treat people the way we want to be treated. And we talk about that all the time. And so Leviticus 19 and 14 says, "You shall not curse a deaf man, nor place a stumbling block before the blind. But you shall revere your God. I am the Lord." Remember when we was growing up, there somebody maybe was blind, and somebody would just start putting stuff in their way, and everybody and the kids got a laugh out of that. "Ha ha ha, I fell down." It's not so funny if you're that person. If you're the one that falls down and gets hurt, that's not funny. And so that people did that, and they do it out of meanness, and they think they're going to be cute, and they get a big laugh out of it. But laughing at the expense of others is not something the Lord likes to see, and we have to be aware of that. God also made provision to help his people to keep from stumbling. He was going to do that. In Isaiah 57 verse 14, he says, and speaking of the prophecy of entering the church, he says, and it shall be, build up, prepare the way, remove every obstacle out of the way of my people. Well, at that time, there were obstacles for the people in order to serve God. They weren't serving him like they should have because everything kept getting in their way. And we have the same problem today. Things get in people's way. They're too busy. They don't have enough time. They don't feel good enough. Or whatever the excuse is, there's always an excuse. And God says, well, we're going to remove all the obstacles. And literally, God has removed the obstacles that would keep us from being obedient to him. The problem is, we place obstacles for ourselves. We're the ones at fault here. It's not God. God has made his way proper and right. He's made it without the stumbling blocks, without the obstacles in the way. And we're the ones that keep making the mess. And we're the ones suffering because of it. See, there are some examples of those that stumbled. And we recall a few of these. You know, Eve. She listened to the serpent say, thou shalt not surely die. And she partook of the fruit. Adam was right there with her, and he ate of it also. So they stumbled. And then later on, Cain wasn't happy that the Lord showed favor upon Abel. So Cain rose up and killed his brother. And we would call that a stumbling because he caused someone from basically living out their life. So we know God hates murder and those who commit murder. He doesn't appreciate them at all. And actually, every person who has lived and has sinned before God, they've stumbled. And they're all that way. We can say of a fact, there's only one who never stumbled, who made it through maturity, who made it through life. There's only one. Now, I'm not talking about those who maybe don't have the mental capacity. We know there's people like that. They can't help it. And so they're not to be held accountable for their actions. But of all people who have ever lived, who's accountable, who knows the difference between right and wrong, there's only been one who was successful in not stumbling. And we know who that was. That was our Lord, Jesus Christ. Not only individuals, but nations have sinned as well. And that's true. We see that. We see it in the scriptures. God condemns nations and he caused nations to be judged because of their sinfulness, because of their wickedness, because of their wicked ways. He caused cities to be destroyed because of their wicked ways, because they would not do those things that were right. And we just have to wonder, when a nation turns its back on God, how long will God allow that nation to exist? And I'm talking about America, because our country has turned its back on God. And we just have to wonder how long. We have enough. I think the only reason it hasn't fallen yet is because there are faithful Christians in this country. We should not be so naive that this country will not be punished for its sins. Because look at all the sinful activity it promotes and it cherishes. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Not to mention the murders, the millions and millions of murders that take place in this country. This is really not a Christian nation anymore. Even though it was founded upon Christian principles, you see how often they're trying to change those? Get away from godly principles. Get away from the Word of God. They hate it. They hate God. They don't want anything to do with God. They think they can do it better, but they are wrong. Now, who can stumble? It's not hard to figure this one out. You and I can stumble. We all can stumble. Anyone can stumble. 1 Corinthians 10:12, we have the warning, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." Because that's what will happen to us. When we think we've got it made, we're going to have problems, right? Isn't that how a lot of movies end up? Oh man, we got it made. Then something terrible happens. Yeah, we see that all the time. And that's the way the world recognizes. Once you think you're in the clear, guess what? There's a big problem coming. And we all have to face that. And we can do that ourselves. When we get so, I guess you can use the word cocky if you want to, when we get so filled in our head, hey, I'm so good, I don't have to worry about praying anymore, I don't have to worry about going to church anymore, I'm so good, God's just going to take me in. I mean, that's a stumbling right there, when you have that type of attitude. We are commanded to take heed, to pay attention. Remember last week's sermon was beware. And we mentioned this verse here. Take heed lest you fall. Be careful, because there's danger out there. There's danger for the Christian out there. There's danger for the souls out there. We've got to take heed. Peter said he would never stumble. Remember that? He said, I won't do anything that's wrong. I won't do that. He told his Lord, I will never deny you. Just 3 hours before he denied him. So if we get in our head, I'll never deny the Lord, be ready, in a few hours you will. You might not say something to someone that says, why deny my Lord? But your actions maybe speak louder than your words. See, Peter said he would not, who would fight to the death to protect Jesus. And he even got upset when Jesus told him he would do so. Jesus said, you're going to deny me. Peter said, no, I'm not. Jesus said, you're going to deny me. Peter said, no way, not me. Jesus said it again, and Peter just got kind of irate and started throwing things around, saying, I'm not going to do that. Even maybe blurted out a curse word or something along that line. And then just a couple hours later, they come to arrest Jesus. And where's Peter? Well, yes, he did grab the sword, but he quickly dissipated into the crowd. And the next time we see him, he's warming his hands over there by the fire. And the young girl says, hey, you were with him, weren't they? Weren't you? Oh, no, I don't know him. I don't know who you're talking about. He denied Jesus. And we have that story in John 13, 36 to 38, Matthew 26, 33 to 35. All right, Christians can stumble. We like to think that we're God's chosen and God has blessed us so much that we can't really make mistakes anymore. That's how some people feel. But Christian, remember what he said, take heed lest you fall. There are those in the denominations that teach it's impossible to stumble. We're going to talk about that next week, next Sunday morning. Once saved, always saved. One of those comfort doctrines that is not supported by the Scripture, but yet millions and millions believe it. But if impossible, why do so many passages talk about stumbling? I mean, whenever we are confronted with false doctrine, all we have to do is ask questions. And really, if it was impossible to fall, why are there so much of the Bible passages talk about the warning against falling? Doesn't make any sense. See, Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Yes, we have a responsibility to help others, but we've got to watch ourselves also, that we don't fall into the same temptation. Remember we mentioned this morning from Romans chapter 1, how Paul talked about the Gentiles had showed their wickedness and how God was displeased with their wickedness. And then he turned right around to the Jews and said, hey, Jews, you're not any better. And it kind of maybe caught them off guard or by surprise. He says, you Jews, you're just as wicked as they are. And you can just imagine the, what? Us? Who, me? See, James 5, 19 and 20 says, my brethren, if any among you strays from the truth, and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. If once saved and always saved is the truth, why did God even put this passage in the scriptures? It makes no sense, does it? All we can surmise is that doctrine is in error. Now, over what can we stumble? We've mentioned a few things already. We can stumble over silver and gold, the almighty dollar. So many people got to make that money. They got to work at it. And for a lot of people, God takes second place. As long as they're making their money, that's what they concentrate on. And they don't sacrifice at all to get that money. Wealth and riches, we read about that. They stumbled, as Ezekiel said there in Ezekiel 7:19, and over idols and iniquity. Many idols have been the cause of many people's destruction. You know, when Jacob left his father-in-law, Laban, he left, and of course they brought all the idols with them. His wives brought the idols with them. And that was a cause of problems. They carried the idols with them out of the land of Egypt. And then when Moses didn't return from the mountain, they said, let us form some gods for ourselves. Isaiah 59, 1 through 15 talks about this culture of people turning their back on God, turning to idols that do nothing. Some people stumble over unbelief. We're warned about unbelief. John 8:24, unless you believe, you will perish. And that's true. And he warned them, you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. Hebrews 12:1 talks about the great cloud of witnesses that we have. And because we have those witnesses, it says, and attested to the faith that it takes to be pleasing to God, we've got to lay aside every weight and encumbrance that so easily besets us. Things get in our way. And usually the thing that gets in our way more than anything else is ourself. We get in the way. Romans 4 and 20. Abraham had to make a choice. And he did. He made the right choice. And because of that, because of his faithfulness, because of his belief, he was called the friend of God. And we can stumble because we don't know God's word well enough. And this is something you have to ask yourself. Do I know the word of God like I should? See, Hosea 4:6, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you don't know your Bible well enough to tell someone God's plan of salvation, you're in trouble. And basically, you are worthless for the Lord. He cannot use you. He wants people who knows his word and lives according to his word. Those people who study his word, as we read in 2 Timothy 2:15, who accept that the word of God is inspired of God and profitable for doctrine and for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. And who are willing to be living upon the foundation of the apostles, Christ being the cornerstone, from 1 Peter 2 and verse 8. Being built up a spiritual house. And then some people can stumble over disobedience. Well, another word for disobedience is sin. Isaiah 1. God had a problem with his people. His people would not listen to him. And that's why he sent the prophet. He says, a donkey knows its master's voice, but you have rejected me. As God spoke to the people through Isaiah. You have turned your way from me. Get your life turned around. Come back to me. Come, let us reason together. and talk about these things. Because I get tired of all your constant false worship that you're doing. You bring your animal sacrifices. You bring you enjoy your festivals and things like that. But you're not worthy. And I get tired of it. Once again, disobedience. We have to be built upon that foundation. Now, who can make one stumble? And this is where we're talking about tonight. Of course, we could say lawyers. Luke 11:52, lawyer did that. And of course, they still get a bad rap. But when you think about that profession, that there is a lot of deception in that profession. And maybe some can get involved in being a lawyer where they do a lot of good. But if you're going to be standing there in a trial, there's going to have to be deception going on. You're going to have to get somebody to think something about your client that maybe is not true, but you're still obligated to give them the best defense they can have. So there's a possibility of that. Lawyers can make people stumble. Preachers, they can do that. Matthew 15:14 talks about the blind leaders of the blind. What's going to happen? They'll both fall into the ditch. Yes, false preachers are out there. Malachi 2:7-8 talks about that fact that your leaders have been falsely prophesying and warning against that. So you got to watch your preacher very carefully. Make sure they're not lying to you. How do you do that? Be like the Bereans. Receive the word with all readiness of mind, but studying the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. Now, why does Christ appear on this list? 1 Corinthians 1:23, to the Jews, Christ is a stumbling block. Because he brought a different message. One that really didn't favor the Jews, but one that was spoken of in prophecy. Christ can be a stumbling block to those who don't want to serve God, because Christ demands obedience. Christ commands it. He wants it, and he desires us to be it. He set the example for us to be obedient to God. But he just gets in the way of a lot of people, doesn't he? And we know how people in this world, what they think of Christ. Sometimes Christians can make one stumble. Sometimes our fellow saints do some things that it's kind of, maybe it's heartbreaking to be sure. Sometimes they say something that hurts our feelings. And they're able to do that. They shouldn't be. And we talk about that. That's why we're studying about our relationships on Sunday morning in class. It's not supposed to be that way. But Christians can cause others to stumble. Maybe Christians who are very knowledgeable of the scriptures, they see no problem in doing something. 1 Corinthians 8, Paul was talking about eating meat that was sacrificed to idols. If you have a Christian who's not really sure about it, you may cause them to stumble by eating something which they're convinced in their mind is wrong, but they see you doing it, and they violate their own conscience. You can cause others to violate their conscience. So that's why we have to be very careful about that. In the family, fathers, mothers, wives, children, loved ones. And Jesus said, any of these will get in the way of me. You won't be worthy of me. And sometimes we read about that. Now sometimes fathers, or the lack of fathers, mothers, and children, loved ones. How many people do we know that their family prevents them from serving God faithfully? Now how can they cause to stumble? Any of these? Sometimes by teaching perverse doctrines. Matthew 15:8-9, Jesus says they teach his doctrine, the precepts of men. And so that's not good. Deceiving the hearts of the simple, liars, deception. Galatians 1, 6 through 10 talks about that, that we are an angel from heaven. Preach any other gospel, let them be accursed. The gospel had already been preached to them. And then here's people coming along teaching them something different. And Paul said that you upset the faith of many by doing that. Romans 16, 18, they do it because they are selfish. And he says you need to mark these individuals because they're just satisfying their own selfish lust by teaching error. And then, of course, they do it by doing things that are worldly. As we read there in 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22, is talking about the false teachers. The whole chapter is talking about the false teachers and what they do. They deceive others. They devour widows' houses. They do all sorts of things to satisfy their own desires. And then once again, 1 Corinthians 8. Not really taking into consideration anybody else's feelings. Maybe you don't have a problem with a particular thing, but if somebody else does, you go rub it in their face. That can cause them to stumble. As parents, sometimes by failing to teach our children the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it's what we're commanded to do. But yet we see more and more parents teach their children the ways of this world, how to get along in this world, how to succeed in this world, how to attract the boys, how to attract the girls or whatever like that, and how much spiritual education do they give them? Whatever they teach them in Bible class, that's about the only education they get, what they might get in church. Parents should be teaching the children all the time. They fail to do that. Guess who's going to be teaching them? The atheists, the wicked people, and the false teachers. They're the ones doing that. Be sure and train your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, because the world is not going to do that. See, Eli forfeited his priesthood by failing to correct his sons. 1 Samuel chapter 2 talked about that. He had two sons that they just went around. They started taking and stealing and causing people to do things. They made people do ungodly acts and stuff like that. And Eli wouldn't say, "Oh, stop doing that. That's not good. That's not right." He just kind of ignored it. And the people had no confidence in Eli, and God didn't have any confidence in Eli, so Samuel had to take over. So what will be the outcome of those that stumble and those that cause them to stumble? Well, it ought to be pretty simple. In Matthew 18:6, he said, "It'd be better to have a millstone hung around their neck and cast into the sea." In other words, it's not going to be good. Those people that stumble, whether they did it themselves or whether someone led them to stumble, they're going to be suffering. Those that caused them to stumble, they're going to be suffering also. Now, how can we keep from stumbling? And that's the point of this lesson. How can we keep from stumbling? We got to love God's law. Psalm 119, the whole passage of Psalm 119 is directed towards his law. And verse 97, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Now, who can say that about God's word, that they meditate upon God's word all day long? It's not hard to do. All you have to do in the morning when you get up, read a passage of scripture. Maybe write it down, maybe memorize it, and think about it all day long. It can be done. Putting God's law first is so important. We find that in Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. To obey God's law, Matthew 7, 24 through 27. He's talking about that. The one who does these things is like the wise man who built his house upon a solid foundation. That's what he's talking about, obeying God's law. Walking in the light, 1 John 1, 6 and 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with God and one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. John 11, 9 and 10. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Walk in me. Those who search the scriptures daily, the Bereans, Acts 17, 11. They verified what their preacher was telling them. They studied, is this so? And let whatsoever you do be done in faith. If it is not of faith, it is sin. Romans 14, 23. If what you do, however benign you might think it is, if you don't have the confidence that this is something God approves of, then it is sin if you go ahead and do it. If you're not sure, well, I never read where it said not to do it, so I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. That is still sin. And by the authority of Christ, that's what we need to do. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Christ Jesus. And how can one keep from causing another to stumble? Well, it ought to be pretty simple. Love God with all your heart, strength, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you really care about your neighbor, you're not going to put a stumbling block in front of them. If you love your brethren, you're not going to put a stumbling block in front of them. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The golden rule from Matthew 7:12. I mean, that's very simple. And obey the Lord now and lead others on the straight and narrow way. Be an example for others. As Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. By offending not. You know, Proverbs 18 talks about this, how you can offend a brother. And it's not hard to do. Just say the wrong thing or do something against somebody. You're going to offend them. And by being a good example, be a good example for others. That's what Paul told Timothy to. If you'll do these things, Timothy, if you'll watch and pay attention to the doctrine that you'll preach, you'll save yourself and those that hear you. So why should we continue to stumble at the Lord's commands? See, we can. It's very easy to do. If we don't have that proper foundation, we can stumble at the Lord's commands. And you can obey Him today and do away with that stumbling block. Whatever it might be, and it's usually yourself, is the one that's standing in the way of serving Him. In your disobedience, you might be a stumbling block to others. Maybe you're not thinking about that. Well, it's my life, I'll do what I want with it. But imagine if you got there and you're condemned, but then you also heard the person that you knew was also condemned because you set an example that they followed. How would you feel? Do not be a stumbling block and a rock of offense. Stay away from that. Prevent the falls, and if you do, pick yourself up and get back on the straight path. That's all it's about. If you do fall, get up and keep going. So consider those thoughts. I mean, it's dangerous to stumble. It's dangerous to be a stumbling block. And so that's why we encourage you not to do that. We're going to sing our invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.